Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Well, I noticed it in my own religious tradition years ago, and now confirmed in a different religious tradition by some recent research into the age of and the religious views of various religious people. The New York Times had a headline recently, "New Nuns and Priests Seen Opting for Tradition." And that's not just among the Roman Catholics. The younger pastors, priests, religious find historic Christianity more compelling than what's being offered in the modernized forms of Christianity here in America. It's one of the things I want to talk to Colleen Carroll Campbell about here in the first few minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc., along with claims that all of the protests that we're seeing in town hall meetings against health care reform are conjured up and not genuine grassroots reactions. We'll see what she has to say about that here in just a moment. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in this Monday afternoon, the 17th of August. We'll spend the first 15 minutes talking with Colleen Carroll Campbell. Then we'll talk to Dr. Ergun Kaner about Islamic denominations or sects, S-E-C-T-S, Sunnis, Sufi, Shiite. What does it mean? It means a lot. The differences are significant and of great political and religious impact, but we need to know what the differences are. It's vital that we know the differences of these various denominations of Islam. We'll deal with that here in about 10 minutes. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Todd.
Let's start with the grassroots claims. Have what we've been seeing by way of protest, question, argument in town hall meetings about health care reform, have they been rightly called grassroots reactions?
Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing this bubbling up from ordinary citizens, many of whom have not been politically active in the past. And there's a deep concern about the direction the country is going, and specifically about the health care reform plans that are circulating on Capitol Hill. Folks are coming out. They're angry. They have questions. They're turning some of these staged town hall meetings into real town hall meetings in the sense that they're actually asking their politicians tough questions. And, of course, the elected officials don't much like it because they're not used to getting that kind of turnout. But I think it's a very healthy sign for democracy that ordinary citizens are getting involved and protesting what they don't like and asking questions about what they don't understand. Of course, many are trying to dismiss them as not grassroots, but from every indication we've seen, it is, in fact, a genuine, organic, grassroots movement.
One of the things that's uncovered for me, and I think we all kind of instinctively know this about professional politicians, regardless of their political views, they're much more comfortable answering questions they've been prepared for or that have been laid out for them than these kind of impromptu questions that really get to the heart of people's concerns about things like healthcare. And I've noticed not to a man or a woman, but generally speaking, and watching some of these town hall meetings, when the questions get tough, you begin to see what the politician is really made of, what the lawmaker is really made of.
That's right. And you also see how little most of these legislators know about the actual legislation. The House bill under consideration right now for health care is over 1,000 pages long. Even President Obama has admitted that he's not familiar with many parts of it. We had one Democratic legislator saying that he didn't see the point of reading it because, after all, the lawyers are the ones who are going to figure out what it really means anyway. So part of the reason I think there's so much pushback from elected officials who are upset about being questioned at these town hall meetings is because many of them are handed a couple of superficial talking points by their staffers, and when the questions get any deeper than that, it's revealed that they don't really know much about the legislation they're voting on, or what they do know is something they don't really want to share with their constituents, especially as regards certain provisions on abortion, for instance.
Let's talk about another, if we can even really call this a grassroots movement as well, but this is within Roman Catholicism, especially among the religious orders. The headline in the New York Times says, "New nuns and priests seeing opting for tradition." You've been on to this movement for a long time, Colleen. What's going on?
Well, that's true. I have been studying this for a long time. My book, The New Faithful, Why Young Adults Are Embracing Christian Orthodoxy, was written in It came out in 2002, and in that book I looked at not only Roman Catholics, but also evangelicals and Protestants of various denominations. So this is a wider trend, as you said, than even Catholicism. But it is something that those of us who've been paying attention have been seeing for years. But there's been, I think, a lot of resistance to seeing what's going on because I think it runs counter to some of the conventional wisdom, at least that dominates mainstream media coverage of religion, and that is that young people are not interested in religion, that if you make it too tough on them or too traditional or too demanding, they're going to run away. In fact, that's not the case. It's never really been the case in the history of Christianity, and there are certainly trends going all different directions, but we know down through the ages it's gospel truth and the demands of the gospel that attract the young because they're idealistic. And that's what we're seeing among these new nuns and priests within Catholicism, that those who are attracted to this way of life, which is very demanding in terms of what you give up, are specifically attracted to communities that are in fidelity to Catholic doctrine, that are loyal to the social teachings of the church, particularly on the pro-life issue, those sorts of issues. And they want to wear the distinctive religious garb of religious life. They want to live in community. They want to pray in community. They don't want to just do it themselves and be basically social workers in the world, which unfortunately is what many religious orders became after the Second Vatican Council.
See, that's what I want to know, whether it's really possible. Most people observing from the outside, when Vatican II was finally over, thought, uh-oh, this was kind of a very clumsy attempt for the Roman Catholic Church to get with the times. Always a bad idea when it comes to historic Christianity. And to capitulate in some ways to the pressures of culture. I'm wondering whether or not we may see in the future decades a pendulum swing back, culminating perhaps even in another council for the Roman Catholic Church, wherein the mistakes made in Vatican II could be corrected.
Well, certainly I think it's important to distinguish between what was actually decided at Vatican II, what the documents said, what the principal movers in the church were doing in Vatican II, and then how it was implemented specifically in the United States. You have to remember that Pope John Paul II, Benedict XVI, two popes who certainly couldn't be called left-wing radicals by any stretch, were prime thinkers within the Second Vatican Council. They were helping draft the documents. Their ideas were being worked into these documents. And if you read the documents, which unfortunately most Catholics have not read them, even though they talk a lot about the spirit of Vatican II, if you read the actual documents of Vatican II, they're very theologically in line with what the church has been teaching for thousands of years. They are very clear on many of the points that have become very muddied in American Catholicism. And you can see that it's been implemented differently in some countries and better. Pope John Paul II, when he was Archbishop of Krakow in Poland, came home from the Second Vatican Council and implemented it in a very different way than it was implemented in the United States. And so in Poland, I was just there a couple years ago, you will see young adults flooding into churches. They're flowing out of churches, and we're talking all day long on a Sunday. You can catch a mass every hour on the hour in Krakow, and you usually won't be able to get a seat for all the young people who are in there. They are traditional. They are faithful. They are strong on many of the social teachings of the church, again, the pro-life issue. And so this isn't necessarily springing from Vatican II. In fact, I think a lot of us reading those documents are very inspired by a lot of what was said in terms of the role of the laity in the church, good things, important things. But what happened, unfortunately, in the United States is that a lot of folks didn't read the documents or used them as an excuse to implement sort of a social revolution that was already going on in the culture, and then called it the spirit of Vatican II. So I consider myself a Vatican II Catholic in the sense that I think it was a great council. I just wish the church in America would really pay attention to what was said and actually implement it correctly after 40 years of a lot of chaos and false implementation.
So then, with only 30 seconds, you really think this may have more to do with a return to what was actually said in Vatican II rather than a caricature and a misapplication? About 30 seconds.
Exactly. And in fact, many critics of these young new faithful who are theologically orthodox and socially conservative say, well, they're rejecting Vatican II. But you actually talk to these young adults, as I do, and they'll say, no, we're not rejecting it. We're living it out fully. There was a universal call to holiness that was really the key phrase out of Vatican II. That is, everyone in every state of life is called to holiness, and these young adults are inspired by that, and they want to live that out, and they don't see any reason why being faithful to the teachings of Vatican II requires them to turn their back on ancient Christian doctrines, and so they won't. And so I think it's an inspiring movement, and I think it's much more in the spirit of Vatican II than a lot of what we have been seeing in the last 40 years in religious life in America.
Folks, you can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's columns under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Colleen is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Thank you, Colleen.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back from this break, there are denominations in Christianity, and yes, there are denominations in Islam as well. We need to understand the difference between one Muslim and another. Dr. Ergun Kaner, a former Sunni Muslim and president of Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary and Graduate School in Lynchburg, Virginia, will help us do just that after this.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/issuesetc.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
All right, so you missed your congregation's budget deadline, or your congregation turned down your request to join the Issues Etc. 300. Well, there's still a way to add your church to the Issues Etc. 300. Now, anyone who pledges $1,000 to Issues Etc. in the next year will add their congregation to the Issues Etc. 300. We'll promote your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc., and we'll publicize your congregation to the world.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.